Today, and welcome to the Farms Advice Agribusiness Podcast, where we talk about how to grow your agribusiness, become more efficient, and to optimize what you're currently doing. I'm your host, Jack Creswell, and this week is episode 59, nearly in the 60s, as we look into Grain Producers Australia with the very first inaugural CEO, Colin Beadles. A little late for this episode, I must admit, but farming does come first, and I'm sure you can relate as well. They represent Australia's broadacre, grain, pulse and oilseed producers at the national level, which is a lot of you tuning in, I see. Let's dive in and see how they help grain producers right across Australia. Colin, how are you going today?
Very good, mate. How are you, Jack? Thanks for having me on.
Even better to have you on. As one of the leading heads of grain producers across Australia and moving the dial for grain producers within Australia. Can you tell us a bit more about what your role is and an introduction of what your connection is to agriculture as well?
Yeah, well, I'll probably start with my background. I come from a dairy farming family in Western Australia and was born in Kalgoorlie, actually. My dad was working on the mines at the time and he became a policeman, and we lived in a wheat belt town called Meriden. In West Australia, about halfway between Perth and Kalgoorlie. So anyway, we end up living in Perth, where our original family dairy farm was back in 1871. And at that time, we had a block of land that was a wedding present. My mum and dad built a house there, but the farm was still up, but was torn down by council a couple of years later. But my uncle had a dairy farm in Serpentine, so spent a lot of time on the dairy farm growing up. And rural Australia and agriculture's always been in my blood. But being in Perth, got into one thing and another, mainly sport, worked in cricket for a long time and travelled the world like you and spent 3 years in London. But got back into agriculture in 2006 as when I finished up working with the WA Cricket Association, and also was in sports media. I had a national cricket newspaper for a year, which was fantastic, that published weekly. So I was a grains writer at the Farm Weekly, and that was at the time when the AWB single desk wheat for weapons scandal was going on, and essentially the Coal Royal Commission that led to the deregulation of the Australian grains industry. So my job as a journalist there at the Farm Weekly in West Australia, which was part of the then rural press stable of agricultural publishing, papers like that throughout Australia, such as The Land in New South Wales. Yep. So my job was to report the news and what was happening out of Canberra, in fact, that was impacting on farmers. So it was kind of a pretty big introduction to the world of grains. And being a journalist, it was good to be a blank page and not really having too many preconceived ideas. But I'll give you a hint or an insight. My first job as a journalist for the Farm Weekly was to go to the Save the Single Desk rally. It was a big meeting of farmers and industry leaders in Cunderdon in the West Australian wheat belt, not too far from Meriden. It was about 500 farmers, and I think 496 of them wanted to save the single desk. There might have been four of them who supported deregulation and getting rid of the AWB monopoly. And there was a host of politicians there, and my mind was spinning. And my first interview and story I wrote was AWB Limited Chairman Ian Donges spoke to the meeting. WA Farmers spoke. The then Deputy Prime Minister Mark Vaile attended the meeting and spoke. And Wilson Tuckey, the WA Liberal, who was the member for O'Connor, which covered all of the agricultural or, you know, grain-growing region of West Australia, he didn't attend the meeting, but he had a private members bill looking to remove AWB's power of veto, which was really a move towards deregulation. Anyway, 4.5 years as a grains writer in Western Australia, I then took a job working out of the Canberra Press Gallery, covering agriculture there for 7.5 years. And that included some of the biggest, controversies in Australian political history, with sacking of prime ministers, but also agriculture had a lot to do with that hung parliament, in particular the live cattle ban in 2011 to Indonesia that subsequently led to a $600 million class action payout for a government, wrong decision against the industry, as we all know about. But even carbon taxes, you know, the way that farmers get compensated for land use, for example, has been a key part of the sort of political argy-bargy that's really been the hallmark of Canberra for the last 10 years. So, look, I had a stint working in politics in, as a media advisor, done a few things, but Grain Producers Australia, I've been very familiar with where they've come from and the board and others and their journey. So about 2.5 months ago, I was appointed as their inaugural chief executive, which is really about taking a step up in terms of where GPA is going and the type of issues we're advocating on behalf of Australian grain growers for. So, and happy to talk more about that if you want, Jack. You've probably got a question. Diane asked me a question after that big intro.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you prefer talking grains or cricket more now?
That's a good question. Happy to talk both. Happy to talk grains over a game of cricket. Cricket's one of those great things, isn't it? You know what, when you're out on the farm, it goes on around you. You know it's summer, it sort of happens in the background. And, you know, you can listen in while you probably do when you're out working on the farm. And the ABC radio, wherever, you know, Channel 9, whatever it is. Yeah, we've got some amazing stories. I guess having worked in cricket for a long time, you've got a lot of stories. Some of them are a bit outdated now, a bit like my political yarns. But no, what I like most is people's passion, whatever the subject matter is, whether that's agriculture, whether it's grains, or whether it's your favourite sport or your local sporting club or community, the passion that I really identify with.
Yeah, 100%. And you've moved into a very passionate industry, agriculture and specifically grains. You've worked in different pivotal moments within agriculture, and also like yourself as a journalist probably gave yourself a really good basis to go off and lead you into this inaugural position of CEO. So first of all, congrats on becoming the inaugural CEO of Grains Australia.
Thank you. Yep.
So Grains Australia, your role, what is it and how does it impact farmers that are a part of your community or outside of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, if we step back to when the industry was deregulated, previously, Australian grain farmers were represented by the Grains Council of Australia, and that that organisation folded around that time through lack of funding. And essentially the state farming organisations like New South Wales Farmers, they had representatives who went on to the Grains Council of Australia. So those farmer members sat around the table and made decisions impacting Australian grain farmers. The main role of Grain Producers Australia, or two main roles under legislation, the first one is under the PIAD Act, which essentially constitutes the levy that you pay that goes towards research and development through the Grains Research and Development Corporation and extension, of course. So, we represent those people who pay the levy that helps fund the GRDC, and that's matched with government funding. And essentially our accountability there is that we oversee a process whereby we select the board members nominated to the minister's office who makes the appointment. But there's a few other jobs around that which provide oversight. Look, we have regular communication with them in terms of meeting with our chairman, for example. Andrew Wiedemann is in constant contact with the GRDC chair, John Woods, and, we have other meetings around that, casting our eye over the strategic plan, making sure the strategic direction of the investments supports our view of the world as well. We don't always agree, but we agree on most things, and that's part of it. The other thing we do under legislation is around biosecurity, emergency plant pest and emergency response deed. Probably didn't say that correct, but it's in the ballpark in terms of the terminology. But that essentially governs the industry's response to any biosecurity threats that happen locally and determines how to fund the eradication programs or whatever the particular response is that's needed. But essentially, GPA, we have board members in each of the main grain growing regions. We have a board, we have a policy council that where we have members of each of the state farming organisations as well. So they provide input into our policy that we then advocate on behalf of Australian farmers into Canberra. They manage their own state issues. We'll provide support if needed, if they need a hand with anything. But we're in constant conversation. We can respond to policy issues as they come up that are priority. And then we've got policies that we've been working on over a longer period of time. And what you'll see from GPA in the future is a lot more advocacy. And one of the things about GPA also, we can take direct membership. So any grower can become a member of GPA. So Jack, you're more than welcome to fill out a membership form and become a member. But we advocate on behalf of all growers, and that's one of the tricks. So for GPA to be strong, we'd like to see all members, or all growers, anyone who pays a levy being a member of GPA. So therefore, we can be much stronger in terms of our advocacy, not just on research and development or biosecurity, but on any number of matters, making sure that Parliament doesn't make bad decisions, and, you know, help them make good decisions that improve the profitability of grain farmers. You know, bad legislation can be warned off sometimes with some pretty simple, you know, responses and engagement on behalf of industry, so that people there understand the danger of what they're proposing. And we know with issues like glyphosate use, for example, in Europe, there's a lot more misinformation around those types of issues that we need to guard against. So that there isn't that sort of groundswell of misunderstanding that leads to a bad decision that would hurt farmers pretty badly if it came about.
Yeah, exactly. And it is strength in numbers. I'd say around 60% of Farms Advice listeners are actually grain producers themselves, and they could get a lot of benefit with that community that you do have surround and what it can do for them as a farmer within Australia producing grain. But
yeah,
that moves on well into our next question of what's the current challenges as a grain producer currently across Australia? What do you see at the forefront?
Well, look, the weather is always number one.
Yeah.
You talk to any grower, it's either, you know, at the moment we've coming out of a period, extended period of drought on the East Coast, and hoping to get a good season. But, you know, there's a bit too much rain around in some areas. Probably the main, or the one burning platform issue that we've got at the moment is around farm labour. Western Australia in particular is making a fair bit of noise with their concerns about it, because the second year of COVID, we rely on backpacker workers, for example, and a lot of them have gone home now. So then there's not people coming into the country. We're trying to accommodate returning Australians as a priority rather than, you know, people who can work in the grains industry where it might be an economic impact for the nation, but we still have to align that with other priorities around who can come in. So that's a big one on our radar at the moment, that we're working on a national plan, something we can take to Canberra. We know the government's announced an agricultural visa recently, but for grain producers, the agricultural visa doesn't provide an immediate solution for this harvest. Essentially, the ag visa, we understand, will allow skilled workers to come into the country, because that's essentially what we're talking about for the grains sector. People who operate heavy machinery and harvesters, for example. But that's a longer term solution. So we will continue to advocate for that. But also we need to look at what we can do in terms of training people locally, tapping into workforce solutions in our own backyards. And each state will have their own plan and their own requests of their state governments. But essentially, whether you have councils working on a plan at the moment of what GPA can advocate into Canberra, and that would be complemented by other national groups. As you know, grain growers are also active in this representative space. And the National Farmers Federation and our state farming members are also linked into the NFF, of course. So we want to make sure what we're doing is not getting under the feet of any work they're doing there, but value adds and complements what they're doing and sends a coherent message to policymakers and politicians in Canberra that we can give them something that's going to, you know, a solution or a package of solutions that's going to make a real difference, but also shows that industry is helping itself, Jack, you know. government gets a bit sick of people lining up around Parliament House, you know, with their hand out. And that if you come to government with competent solutions, then you're going to get a better reception and ongoing engagement. So that's what GPA is about, and that's what we're working on at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what the podcast is a bit about, having a bit more, being more prepared for the scenario in front of us. Like with anything, going to the bank for a bank loan or going to the government to see what the options are with different scenarios in hand. What is it? What is the scenario coming up to the harvest time for this year? Do you see for plugging those holes?
Well, I suppose the quarantine situation, a visa situation, there's not a lot of hope there.
Yeah.
But, you know, last year, for example, GPA engaged Qantas in getting pilots who are out of work onto farms because we felt they had skills that would be transferable at that time. So to assist with the surge capacity that's required at harvest, given the border closures because of COVID. So look, and, you know, we, you know, anyone really, if they hear the message, just raising the issue as a national conversation, people might be out there and think, well, you know, I might be able to do some training. I might be recently retired. Maybe I could go and work for 3 months. You know what the conditions are like. It's testing work, but they'll get paid well and remunerated well for their input, and that could help income for any number of people. People have reached out with different ideas. We're just going through a number of those options at the moment to see which ones will work best. But essentially, you know, Western Australia is calling for access in particular for seasonal workers and harvest workers from the Northern Hemisphere, from countries like the USA, Canada and UK that are experienced at operating heavy machinery that's required at that time. So it's our main conversation is about the type of workers we want, Jack, skilled workers who can operate heavy machinery, and once they get going, they understand how to use that equipment and they can be efficient and get the job done.
Yeah, great. So that's one of the challenges. And moving into like research and development, coming out of the long drought on the East Coast, how is GPA assisting in that R&D for grain producers?
Well, essentially, the GRDC puts about $200 million a year into research, development, and extension. So I don't have a shopping list in front of me in terms of what sort of work they're doing. But as you know, they're working virtually paddock by paddock, you know, local regions. They've got strong engagement across the country into grain growing areas, and a long history of working with growers to identify their priorities. So national variety trials, for example, you know, demonstrate how the farmers work with different inputs and different varieties to get the best results in their back paddock. And that might be around drought, you know, crops that can grow better in drier conditions or be frost resistant, et cetera. So, you know, handle water logging better. High yielding, of course. And baking qualities, all those things come into the equation. So that's an ongoing process. And our role, you know, is to contribute to that conversation on top of what they're doing with their local engagement as well.
Yeah, excellent. And for grain producers, what about bringing products to market? Is there assistance around that if a farmer wants to start creating his own vertical integrated products and taking them direct to consumers? Is that something that GPA helps with, or is there like a knowledge base there for farmers to access? Because I see researching for the podcast, I see a lot of farmers are wanting to take a product straight to consumers, whether it be rolled oats, their own flour, branded like that.
Yeah. So Ashley Wees in Western Australia got together with a couple of farmers there, and they've got their own, I think it's quinoa product. Yep. I'd have to double check that, mate. But I couldn't tell you what funding support they've got, but I think there's any number of organisations that you can collaborate with. And again, you know, I want to see an improvement in or a lifting conversation, because those sorts of things are great opportunities for farmers. They're very commercially savvy, and connecting what you grow in your backyard to an end user is an important element of hopefully improving your profitability. And that could also be linked to some local manufacturing. So all those are strengths. And yeah, I think GRDC is open to those ideas.
Yep.
You know, again, they would plant the seed with their investment of something that can provide an exponential return across industry. As you know, there's a lot of moving parts to a program like that. And then you've got to set up a supply chain. You've got to guarantee supply. And, you know, you've got to diversify that risk as well against seasonal conditions. So there's a lot of things to consider. So but there's a number of groups out there that would contribute funding, I think, for people to explore the potentiality.
Yeah, definitely. And I think farmers are the most innovative bunch out there, and they're prone to taking a few risks when the reward does weigh in, whether that's with the environment impeding on how much we're going to get off the yield or whatnot for the year. And moving into like using different technologies throughout the grain supply chain as such, but as the start of the supply chain, farmers introducing new technology is getting a fair bit of money and investment behind it. Where do you see this going, and like what sort of trends have you seen for grain producers utilizing technology in 2021 onwards?
Oh, well, I think grain farmers in particular have always had a strong reputation for taking up technological advances in the industry.
Yeah.
And being early adopters. So, but you know, those that get out there early and take the lead. And farmers, the word of mouth's pretty rapid in the industry. If someone's doing something that's working, people will want to look at it. You know, Twitter's a great place these days where farmers are sharing technology and ideas on how to solve problems in their paddock. So, you know, if they're able to adapt that technology to their own farming operation, that they'll take it up. But obviously the main ones that we all know about in terms of innovation, digital innovation, we're hearing more and more about that. The type of machinery that's being used on farm and how that links to the overall farming systems with precision agriculture, you know, lowering inputs, for example, and maximising yields. All of that stuff's feeding into a better outcome. And we know there is more and more environmental demands coming down on farmers. So it also supports them in getting better outcomes for in those areas, improved quality of soils. GPA's been working on a code of practice for autonomous farm machinery as well, which we've recently finalised, and we've been starting to talk to the WA government about adopting that as well. So there's a huge opportunity to bring forward the commercialisation of that sort of technology in Australia. Yep. And that'll bring efficiencies and benefits on the farm, you know, reduce labour, for example, reduce labour costs, but again, better targeted application of inputs, et cetera.
Yeah, definitely. And that does work back into our labour shortage. Do you think, how far off is this autonomous working for grain producers out in the paddock?
That's a good question. I think the code of practice will help bring that forward.
Yeah.
It's a good question for the machinery dealers. GPA isn't doing this project on our own. Society of Precision Agriculture Australia involved.
Yep.
And the Tractor and Machinery Association of Australia. But when it happens is really the million-dollar question. But by being proactive in developing a code, we're demonstrating to government that we're thinking about some of the local impacts. And I think that means that manufacturers and others in this space, people who are prepared to invest in the development of this technology, are looking at Australia and saying, well, look, there's an industry where grain growers are leading the charge, or grain producers are leading the charge in terms of creating a pathway to commercialise, to see those benefits come forward a little bit sooner than they may otherwise in other parts of the world.
Yeah, well, I think that would be a huge benefit, and we're all sort of tending that way, aren't we? Newer technologies.
Yep.
But I think we are a fair way off of it becoming commercial on all farms. The adoption process, I see running this podcast and doing a bit of marketing, it's not as quick as we'd like it, but we do need to be hesitant of how we can implement it into our own enterprises. I see what would be your advice for a grain producer out there looking for new technology and how to move along with it?
Yeah, look, the first question is, what do you need on your farm? You know, everyone's running their own business. What can you do? What technology can you introduce to make life easier on your farm and improve profitability, improve soil health, and tick all those important boxes? What are the problems? Do an audit of what the problems are that need to be solved and whether they're short or long-term problems, and then come up with a plan and bring the tools onto your farm that you need. I mean, essentially, that's what we use that word a lot in GPA. These are tools that can help farmers improve, make life easier, and improve profitability and sustainability. So, and that's essentially what your levy is going towards, that GRDC and others are researching. Better ways of killing weeds and more, use of herbicides on farm. It all goes into the mix. But there's a lot of resources out there and it can be quite overwhelming. But I think if you're clear with what the problem is that you're solving and then think about how you want to get there, then the types of tools you bring onto the farm basically take care of themselves.
Yeah, exactly. All farms are a bit different. So not all, it's not a blanket approach where throw the blanket over and it'll fit all farms precisely.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right.
For farmers, like, coming together, how can farmers like start to improve the industry as individuals, as a community on GPA as such, but how can I as a farmer just get a start?
How can you start working with GPA?
Yeah, how can we start working together to be able to improve my individual enterprise itself, but also for the benefit of the industry?
Well, that's a great question, and that's exactly what GPA is here for, and that's what we've been set up to do. If you think about it, I played a lot of team sport in my life. You know, played football locally in Scarborough, AFL, that is, and cricket. And I always think it's a bit like, you don't complain that you've got old footballs or that the change rooms are run down. You got to ask what you can do for your club and what you can give back to it rather than what you can get out of it. And for me, GPA is a great starting point for all growers to get in behind and pay their subs and make the industry stronger. The thing about GPA that I love, that our chairman, for example, Andrew Wiedemann, who farms in Victoria, and Barry Large is the vice chairman, and he manages the biosecurity issues for GPA. He's a farmer in Western Australia. They've been involved since day one. When the Grains Council Australia fell over, there was a meeting of farm leaders or grains farm leaders from around Australia that basically come up with the concept of GPA. And those two guys and others on the board, for example, have invested a lot of their own time and energy and money being away from their own farms in representing Australian grain farmers on these sorts of issues, in oversight of the GRDC, biosecurity, and international trade, farm labour shortages, mouse plagues. And they do it with a lot of integrity and they don't get any financial reward. And so I just think... if all growers contributed to the strength of GPA and became a member, then we would be able to go forward and tackle those issues that improve the profitability and sustainability of Australian grain farmers. So that's a starting point. Working together, yep, that all sounds nice. People are going to disagree. But when you set up that system like we do, where people can get elected to go on the board, you can go to committee meetings where you make real decisions and then you can take forward those decisions to Canberra. So with our work shortages issue at the moment, our National Policy Council is going to make a plan, and then I'll be advocating that in terms of taking that conversation to Canberra and asking people to make real changes. And that could have a big impact on how quickly the harvest is taken off this year and how much profit the industry gets. But at the end of all that, people won't be writing a letter to GPA saying, thanks a lot. We'll be getting straight on to the next issue. The more resources we've got available to do that, then the better outcomes, you know, that we'll be able to create. There's about 28,000 growers that pay the GRDC levy, but there's not anywhere near that many who are paying a membership. So, like I said, the state farming organisations, their grains policy councils are members of ours, or grains committees are also part of our policy setting process. So their members have a direct voice into what we're doing as well. But the strength in numbers, I say, the stronger you make your local community, the stronger you make your club, the better outcomes that they'll be able to generate for you as well. But you can also take up the opportunity to participate. You know, I'd like to get a young farmers advocacy group going through GPA as well, and give younger farmers like yourself and others that want to an opportunity to be able to come down to Canberra and get involved in some of that advocacy and speak about how things are impacting your business and your community as well.
Yeah, great stuff. I think, like, as a young farmer, would love to take that by the horns and come down and just see what it's all about. And then that would spur us on to nurturing along within the industry, but also just to see what other problems that, like, around Australia we're having within grain producers. It'd be really good. And you could learn a lot, I suppose, as a young bloke or an older bloke, woman in the industry.
Yeah. I remember a former independent member for New England, Tony Windsor, and he'd been in federal parliament for 11 years. And I think he'd been in the New South Wales parliament before that for about 10, but his retirement press conference, and he is a grain farmer as well in around Tamworth. And he's, you know, the world's run by those who turn up. And people criticise our, our parliament and our leaders, et cetera. But we've got a system where if people turn up, they can participate and get the results. If you're going to complain about your committee at your local footy club, well, be prepared to get on there and help out and make a difference. If you really feel strongly about something you don't like, then get on there and get involved in that democratic discussion, or do a job. I'm a big fan of people who get on committees, Jack, you know, who see a challenge and say, you know what, I really believe in this. I'm going to get on board GPA so that I can get in front of the Prime Minister or the Agriculture Minister or whoever it is and say, you know what, we need this problem fixed. And that's what GPA provides to a lot of, to all grain farmers. And I'd like to see more people become members so they can participate in that democratic process, have their views heard. I know it takes time and energy, but, you know, over the long haul, you get the job done. Our chairman or our board, you know, people like Andrew Earle, who's on our board as well in New South Wales and Queensland, and Steve Ball in South Australia, these people, Luke Arbuckle, they put in their own time and energy, but it's not all consuming, but you get some good results by participating in that process. But if you're motivated to get on there, do a job, and then, you know, be part of a succession plan to bring on some fresh energy to keep the organisation moving.
Absolutely. What you put in is what you get out, like the Nutrigrain box says on the outside of the cereal.
Exactly. Good plug for Nutrigrain. What are you thinking of getting a deal there, Jack, with Nutrigrain as a sponsor?
If they want to come on, I won't say no.
Well, you know, grains, there's a synergy there.
Absolutely. That's why I thought I'd put it in there. But as a theme for the podcast, transparency is a big thing that I'm trying to advocate for grain producers, just to learn from others within the industry and learning from yourself now as the head of GPA currently. How do you see being a bit transparent with grain producers, with the policy that's going on at the moment, tackling what we just went through, the mice plague on the eastern seaboard, drought, those type of policies? How do you see transparency being a key to unlocking what can be done through GPA?
Well, again, you need to be, aware of how the process works.
Yeah.
Transparency, I don't think anyone's deliberately keeping any secrets, but it's where you go to get the information. So if you want to find out what's happening and what people are doing, on things like the mouse plague. The information's all there. It's a matter of going to the source. But if you feel you're being denied any information, that's a different conversation. But I think, you know, again, it's New South Wales farmers who led the charge there with their members raising an issue with the state minister and the state parliament and putting in a request for funding support and particular elements of that. GPA was lucky at the time. We had an emergency use permit with a double dose zinc phosphide mouse bait option that was the result of a long-running involvement setting up the National Mouse Plague Working Group about 10 years ago and working with CSIRO and GRDC to identify those problems and that they needed a stronger dose to get an impact in terms of containing the mice. So we were able to add that to the conversation, but people at New South Wales farmers took a leadership position, you know, and are transparent around that. But there's a process that's recognised between government and advocacy groups like ours where they will come to us to find out how to solve a problem, or we will raise issues with them where we want them to solve a particular issue. And then the thing about that, though, Jack, is that all the farmers get the benefits. So it's not just New South Wales farmers members who get the government assistance. All farmers get it. So, and that's where I get back to the basic things like the local footy club. You know, everyone gets the new footies at training, even if only half the guys have paid their fees. If everyone pays their fees on day one, then the club's stronger and you get better results. So, you know, and my, you know, long involvement, I know it's just I'm using sporting analogies, but again, that's how communities work as well. What can I put in to make the club stronger? And if you're getting the benefit, you might want to say, I want to be selfless in terms of how I go about this and get it out of the way. Find out what you can do to help out rather than just saying, oh, well, I didn't get what I wanted out of it.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I agree with you there. If you can get that backing initially, that would put you in a much better spot to support those farmers as you are doing so now, but to have that extra support from those that are benefiting from your advocacy or the policy making and going down to Canberra to see how we can improve the outlook for grain producers throughout Australia.
Yeah. No, I think that's what we need. The message we need to get out is that, you know, it's not a matter of transparency. It's the fact is everyone has the opportunity to get involved. Whether we like it or not, we're advocating on behalf of grain growers. So when we talk to government, they assume that, we are representing 28,000 grain farmers who pay a levy to GRDC in that regard, and everyone who contributes to harvesting the national crop every year. So the more people that are involved in making us stronger, the better results we can deliver on their behalf, and they can also participate in that process.
Definitely. So how, as a grain producer, a farmer across Australia, how can we actually join? Do we head to Grain Producers Australia website?
Yep. Well, probably the easiest one at the moment. There's an email on my Twitter account, so people can click that. So and send a request. And there's a contact GPA on the GPA website. There's a contact form there that they can fill it out, send it in, and say, "I heard you rambling on the Farms Advice podcast." So, and I'd like to become a member or whatever information they want to follow up on. So, you know, it's a two-way process and more than happy to speak to more people and get more people involved.
Beautiful. Well, hopefully we can swing a few your way and get the ball rolling for yourself, but also for them as a grain producer. Before you leave us, who would you like to hear on the Farms Advice podcast and why?
That's a good question. Is it just grain farmers or?
We'll keep it to grain producers for your niche.
Oh, well, look, anyone who's a member of GPA. Andrew Earle's one of our board members. You can get hold of Andrew, would be good. Yeah. Are you limited just to a particular state or are you anyone across Australia?
No, anyone across Australia. That'd be great.
All right. Well, I'm going to put someone in the Mick Fells, the WA Farmers, our Grains Council president over there.
Yep.
Would be a good man to speak to, and he'd probably be able to speak more to you about farm technology than I can. I interviewed him many years ago on his farm. We'll keep it there for now. There's a couple.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. I'll be sure to get in touch with them. If they're listening, they can get in touch with me as well. That'd be great. Well, right. Colin, thanks for coming on the Farms Advice podcast. Where's the best place for someone to reach out to yourself individually? On Twitter, or do you have an email that's best?
Yeah. The GPA account on Twitter has the email address as well. And there's a contact us or the contact form on the website.
Too easy. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast, and we'll have everything down in the show notes anyway.
Thank you very much for listening to episode 59 with myself and Colin from GPA, Grain Producers Australia. If you like this episode, please share it on your socials, or let us know in an Apple Podcast review what you thought of the episode. That would be bloody unreal. So that we can continue to find more farmers right across Australia to start improving the industry as a whole. Until next Tuesday, keep on farming. Thanks for sticking around right to the end of the episode. If you'd like to join a proactive community of farmers on Facebook, make sure you join the Farms Advice Australia Facebook group. Looking for innovative farmers, or just to raise some discussion points, let us know and request access into that. A great community looking to build their farm as well. See you next time.